Yes. Welcome to the Science of Getting Rich podcast. I'm your host, Gerald Peters. Always remember, folks, whatever you think about comes about. Whatever you focus on grows, it expands, it manifests. We've been working our way through the book, The Science of Getting Rich. And if you have the version that I've distributed or given away to, I don't know, close to 1,000 people now, on page 7, we're in chapter 2. And I'm not reading the whole thing. I'm just kind of relating the book to my life, to the life I've built, the businesses that I run, the way that I live, and how I've kind of mapped it around this book. This book has been very influential in my life. And I'm an entrepreneur. I do a lot of things. I've never just done one thing for money. It's come natural to me my whole life. I mean, before being an entrepreneur was cool, before you know, the side hustle, as millennials call it today, before that was cool, I mean, I was doing that. I think most entrepreneurs were. And, you know, when I was young, if you said you were going to be an entrepreneur, that meant you had a felony or you probably couldn't get a good job, because that's, you know, people wanted you to get a good job with benefits. And I can remember at career day at school, and they're like, well, what do you want to do? You know, I remember this became a bigger and bigger problem. The older and older I got, you go to fair day, what if I'm like, you know, and it's like, here, be a fireman, here, be a nurse, be a police officer. Some of those things interest me. I used to think it would be kind of fun to be a cop. But then as I dig into it and I realize, man, I can't make much money doing that. And at such an early age, I knew it was important to make money. But at the same time, the conflict I had is I had very little interest in being in school. And the problem with that is it can be hard to make much money if you don't have a degree or certification or you're not specialized. You know, I had friends who were like, oh, I'm going to be a welder, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. And they seemed like they knew. And I just wanted to make money. I wanted to be an entrepreneur. I don't care if I'm selling paper clips, hot dogs, styrofoam cups. It didn't matter to me. I just caught on at an early age. I need to sell things to people who want them. That's it. It seems so simple. And now that I'm almost 50 years old, it seems I had it figured out at 14. And that it is that simple. That's kind of what The Science of Getting Rich teaches. That in order for you to make money, you have to be where there are people who are willing to exchange their money for what it is you sell. Pretty simple. Pretty simple. And so, to engage in this commerce, we have to have something to sell. And so I would ask you, what is it that you're selling in your life? Take an assessment. What are the things that you're selling? On page 7, Wallace Waddles says, talented people get rich and blockheads get rich. Intellectually brilliant people get rich and very stupid people get rich. Physically strong people get rich and weak and sickly people get rich. I follow this real estate program out of Houston. It's called Lifestyles Unlimited. I'm a real estate investor, and so I follow, I don't know, half a dozen shows about real estate, try to keep my ear to what's happening, what's going on, and what are ways other people are doing real estate, etc. And there's a testimony of a guy who came on. He did not get involved in real estate until he got cancer. He was in his late 50s. He got diagnosed with cancer. Basically, he had to come off his job because of the chemo treatments were going to be pretty severe. And, you know, they're like, hey, you got to stay home. You got to relax. You need to survive this cancer. Terrible situation. Well, during this situation, he decides to become a real estate investor. He had some money saved. And by the time the cancer treatments had ended, I don't know, a year, 18 months. I mean, I don't remember the exact time frame. It was a very short time frame. I remember thinking it was kind of long for cancer treatment, but not long for what he accomplished. So while going through cancer treatment, having never looked at real estate before, he had acquired 5 properties while undergoing chemo. 5. And yet some of us can't do 1 and we're not in treatment for, we're not dying of cancer. And so that human spirit, I mean, that is in all of us, even if we don't acknowledge it, that ability, that's what separates us from animals. You know, human beings are the only people out of sorts, out of whack in our natural environment. Lions, birds, snakes, they just do what they do. You know, there's no monkeys going, hey, I need Prozac. I'm like all stressed out. That's human beings. You know, monkeys just do monkeys. Monkeys are closest to us and they form family bonds. I was just recently watching a documentary on this and they're very similar. They have a language, they can communicate. And so people said, you know, some animals can actually speak to each other. Dolphins can speak to each other. Whales apparently speak to each other. But monkeys have the very one most closest to us. They form friendships. They form relationships. They get into fights and they have battles and dramas. But one monkey can only actually communicate and deal with about 80 people. And so he can only go so far and rise so far and become, you know, there's only so far a monkey can go because he can only, in his mind, comprehend, deal with, and relate to about 80 other monkeys. Now, we're not limited by that, but some of us limit ourselves to the 80 monkeys that are around us. We limit ourselves to this, you know, not to call your friends and family monkeys, you know what I'm saying, to the people that monkey around us. We're limited in that environment. And so right now you have friends that you've had for a while. You know, do those friends have what it is you want in life? And if all of your friends and all the people around you don't have what it is you want in life, maybe it's time to start, you know, getting some new friends. Maybe it's time to expand your business so you're not dealing with the same 50 to 80 customers. How do you do that? How do we leverage ourselves? Because in order to build wealth, you're not going to build wealth, most likely, you're not going to build wealth by dealing with the same, you know, same customers you have now. You're going to need more customers. You're probably going to need more friends. You're going to need more contacts, more influence. And you can't do that if you're not seeking out those relationships, right? And so book is trying to tell us that anyone can become rich. Sorry, I'm opening a box. And so if you're sitting there and you think, man, I don't have the skill set. I'm not a strong leader. You know, I'm not a good talker. I don't like selling. Wallace says, some degree of ability to think and understand is of course essential. But insofar natural ability is concerned, any man or woman who has sense enough to read and understand these words can certainly get rich. Also, we have seen that it is not a matter of environment. Location counts for something, but one would not go to the heart of the Sahara and expect to find a successful business. What Wallace is saying is that, can you read? Can you write? Basic reading and writing. And can you use some common sense? In other words, your pool business isn't going to work in Alaska. That seems to make sense. And so you have to ask yourself, are you working something that actually could work? Is the business you're involved in possible? Have other people gotten rich in what it is you're trying to do? And if the answer is yes, then it's possible for you to get rich. Have other people become successful trading? Yes, well, then it's possible that you could become successful trading. Have some people become successful owning a dry cleaners, being in network marketing, writing books. Yes. And so in all of those endeavors, you are just as capable at becoming successful in those endeavors as anybody else. Smart people get rich, dumb people get rich. Strong people get rich, and pathetically weak people get rich. All of these people. But you will have to, most likely, do things that you find uncomfortable. You will have to put yourself in situations that you find extremely uncomfortable. And the only thing required is that you can read basic eighth grade level and comprehend what you're reading. I've known this to be true in investing. Investing to build wealth is so simple. It is so simple. It can be as simple as just putting money in every single month into a fund. There's no trick. It's not hard. It's completely mind. There's nothing involved in it other than just putting the money in it. And yet there are people who don't understand this. I speak to them every day. Grown, adult, intelligent people in their 40s, in their 50s, in their 60s, not saving at all. They don't invest at all. They're choosing a path of poverty. Blindly. Like if you ask them, they'll just say, I don't understand anything about that. And yet the science of getting rich says, listen, if you can read and if you can understand at a basic level, you can comprehend everything you need in life to get wealthy, to become rich. You don't need any more information than that. Now, having some inside information would help. Having a mentor or a leg up or a parent that could do something for you could help. But it's not needed. On the creative plane, the universe can give you everything you need. It will line it up. We'll see that in further chapters, how you need to start. You need to be the architect. You need to create the blueprint. And the spaces and the materials and the tools and the workmen, those things will fall in place. Those things will fall in place. I used to use the example that if you wanted to own a restaurant, you don't first start with having money to start the restaurant. You first start with the restaurant. Start with the end in mind. What would you name your restaurant? Write it on a piece of paper. Begin to dream a little bit about it. Create a booklet. Research, if you owned a restaurant, where would you buy your supplies? Where would you buy your foods? Would you use Sysco Foods? They provide a lot of foods for restaurants. You say, well, I don't know. We'll research it. Anyone who can basically read and understand basic information can get rich. And so you'd begin to read this. We'll see in later chapters, Wallace talks about the idea of visualization. The point of the book, the dream book, the goal book, whatever you want to call it, in this example of a restaurant, the reason you would name it is what? It's part of the claiming process. God told Adam and Eve to first, what? Name all the animals. Why? Ownership. Don't you give people you love a special name? Give your children a nickname. In the military, we gave our rifle a nickname. What was that about? Why did the Army insist that I give my rifle a nickname? It claims ownership of the process. I have a trading strategy I call the money flow trading system. Recently, been playing with changing the word from system to strategy. System, strategy, what does it matter, right? It's a process. It's a way that I trade the markets. Now, I trade the market several different ways depending on different accounts because each account has a different objective, meaning you can be a short-term trader here, but over here you're a long-term trader. Same in real estate. You can have multiple things going on at the same time, meaning you could be buying houses to put renters in to hold for all of your life. At the same time, you could find a particular house that you fix up and flip. You could be doing both of these activities at the exact same time. Same in the stock market. Once you read, study, learn, you're in tune, you're following, you can find assets that, wow, this is really underpriced. This is like a 15-year low for this asset. You might buy a bunch of it with the intention of selling half of it when it recovers. In sense, you you move into a trade, you take the profits, and then you leave some for later. There's a lot of different ways to do this. This is the beauty of the market. There's so many different ways to approach it and do it. And the one way you shouldn't do it is not doing it, right? And so there's a lot of ways. There's not one way, even though the financial planners would try to tell you there is just simply one way, and that's just not true. There's as many ways as there are people. Everyone's way can be different. And I think this is what's kept a lot of people out of investing, is because of this one-way mentality. Now listen, back to the dream book. This is exactly how I built my network marketing business. I recruited over 100,000 people to the point now that I don't have to recruit people. I just talk about it. I did it from home. I did it with postcards. I didn't go to meetings. I didn't do webinars. I didn't go online. I didn't send emails. I didn't do any of that. But what I did is I created a blueprint. Just like The Science of Getting Rich says, I created a blueprint to the point where I wrote it down. I began to write it down, and I began to write down the problems that I had in the business, and I wrote them down. And then on one side, I listed all of the problems that I had with the business. Didn't know who to recruit. When I did recruit them, couldn't get them to join. When they did join, I couldn't get them to stay with the program, right? Friends and family think I'm a dumbass. And I just began listing all of these things. Boom, 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 boom. And then on the other side, I began to come up, well, what is a possible answer to this problem? Couldn't get my recruits to mail postcards. Woo, what if I created us? And then I realized I'm listening to Tony Robbins and I'm taking in what he's saying, and I always bounce everything that everyone says off of this book, The Science of Getting Rich. And I'm listening to these different people. And Tony really drove to me that if you want to get rich, you have to solve problems. Now, The Science of Getting Rich doesn't really talk about that, but it does. See, it does in a roundabout way, but it doesn't say it specifically. It says you can get rich doing basically anything. But as more as I listen to Tony, I realize, yes, if you solve a problem, it's much easier to get rich because there's people who have the problem, which is what The Science of Getting Rich is saying. If you find people who are inclined to do business with you, that's what he meant by that. Meaning these people need to do business with you. Like, I have a swimming pool, you clean swimming pools, boom, match. I don't mind giving you my money. I don't feel bad about it. I have a business where I need to advertise. You own a magazine. Boom, we exchange, right? Nobody's hurt in that transaction. I sell leads. You're in network marketing. You buy leads from me. I sell books on inspiration and motivation and thinking outside the box. You would like to read them. We do an exchange. Nobody's hurt, right? So The Science of Getting Rich teaches this idea, do more in use value than you ask for in monetary value. And so I took my 20-something years of marketing and follow-up and direct mail and comprised it into a single pack where I charge people $440. But here's what they get. They get more in use value than they receive in monetary value. The $440 was going to be spent one way or another. They were going to blow it on something. We all spend every dollar we get at some point. Eventually, even if you don't, when you die, you give it to someone who spends it. Ultimately, the government gets all the money back, right? At the end of the day, we're not going to get to keep it. But what I give them is 18 to 20 years of experience in one day. Now, what they do with that information is up to them. I can't make people read it. I can't make people implement it, and neither can you, right? You can sell them the car. You can't make them drive it, right? Makes sense. But if you help other people, and so that's how I began to grow my business. I began to list it out. How does this business help you? Now, when you get into nuances or weird spaces, weird categories, like sometimes people are trying to solve a problem that actually isn't there, meaning no one has that problem. Now you're having to tell them they have that problem. I see this all the time on TV, restless leg syndrome. Like, I think pharmaceutical companies make up problems. I think they see things that are natural and they go, let's make a pill for that. Like, it wasn't even a problem. No one was going, man, I wish they had a pill for my restless leg syndrome. And somehow they've mastered this idea of creating the problem, pitching you that you have the problem, and then trying to sell you the answer. The news does this, except they don't have an answer. They go around fabricating problems, and we watch it and go, yeah, those Darn Mexicans are taking over. You know what I'm saying? I live on a border state. And, you know, we'll leave politics out. But everyone has opinions, right? Some degree of ability to think and understand is, of course, essential. But insofar as natural ability is concerned, any man or woman who has sense enough to read and understand these words can certainly get rich. Also, we have seen that it's not a matter of environment. Location counts for something. One would not go to the heart of the Sierra and expect to do successful business. Getting rich involves the necessity of dealing with men and being where there are people to deal with. And if these people are inclined to deal with you in a way that you want to deal, so much the better. But that is about as far as environment goes. So this is how I took my network market. I listed all the problems. I wrote down what I thought were solutions, meaning I created solutions for all of the problems that I pushed up against. I couldn't get my team to mail. I created an auto mail service where I would make a small profit mailing for them. I helped them. They helped me. Boom. I couldn't be there to talk on the phone over and over all day. I had a job. I had wife. I had kids, bubbles and bath with the kids. Boom. I created a voicemail system that would do my little 2-minute elevator pitch, capture the prospect's name and address, put it into my system. Well, I needed a system. Found a programmer that would do it for me on a discount. Hey, I need to be able to type these people's names in. I need to be able to sign them ID numbers. I need to be able to create a follow-up system that I can just pull up numbers. Problem. No problem, Gerald. Guy creates it. Boom. I need a website. Boom. I need a PO box. Boom. I need a information package. Boom. Go to work on that. Boom. I need follow-up packages. Boom. Boom. Notice in all of this strategy, I don't even mention what the product is. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. For me, the product didn't matter. The space I was going into was trying to answer a problem. And for me, it was marketing. I'm marketing. I'm doing affiliate marketing. I'm doing direct mail. I'm doing internet marketing. I'm doing various forms of marketing. The products that I'm marketing solve a problem. It might be weight loss. Okay. My business strategy can do that. I'm just using weight loss as an example. The system that I built, again, I call it the money flow because it talks about the money flow. It starts from the beginning. Person A has a problem. Person A sees my ad. Person A calls my number, visits my website, mails in the flyer. I mail flyers. I mail postcards. I mail booklets. I run ads in magazines. I've even done radio ads. I do internet ads. I have all these ads going. Boom. Person A calls in. Go into my computer. I send them out a free information package. Well, when they called, I'm doing bubbles and bath with the kids. Why? Because I sat down and wrote the book that I'm telling you, the dream book, the visualization book for the restaurant example. What is the name of the restaurant? Well, my company was the Downline Building Network. There was nobody in it. It was just me. Oh, well, what happens when they do? And I began to answer everything. Where will I buy my silverware? Not what you think you will buy it. Go and try to buy it. Don't actually pull the trigger. Don't use the credit card, but try to find the silverware for your restaurant. And then you'll go, my God, it's going to be $512. See what I'm saying? But saying you want to have a restaurant and then going looking at the prices and then printing off the page and then putting it into your book. And as you begin to build this dream, this book will have 20, 30, 40 pages. Mine turned into 65 pages and it became a book called The Money Flow. And I began to give this blueprint, this masterpiece to people who either sent me $5, joined me in whatever it was I was promoting. I gave them the book for free. The dream book, the visualization board, changed my life. I distributed over 50,000 copies of this book. And in this book, it sold my idea, it sold my vision to my network marketing company. Again, I don't even talk to them about what it is till the end. Why? Because that's how you market today. First, you claim ownership. You have a reasonable amount of intelligence. You can basically read and write. I get criticized all the time for run-on sentences, punctuations. I have people who are way smarter than me tell me all the time, I can't join you. You're too stupid. Your book reads too simple. A guy recently told me I write like a caveman. Okay. I'm a multimillionaire. Okay, whatever. He's so smart, he can't get rich. Because why? Blockheads get rich. Smart people get rich. Poor people get rich. I mean, there's no pattern. You don't need to be a certain person. You just need to be able to basically... I'm living proof. I'm walking around living proof that you don't have to be a great speaker. You don't have to be a great, you know, motivator. You don't have to be good at writing. I've sold almost well north of 50,000 books, and you've never heard of me. And here's the funny thing. One of my books, I charge $299. That's ridiculous, right? I sell hundreds a year. Do the math. Hundreds a year. Do the math. And I don't give Amazon a penny. But I do give my affiliates a penny. I do share that opportunity with them.